que presentan al mundo la antorcha olímpica se ha transformado en una lección de derechos humanos para la Unión Americana. Beatriz Salas amplía la información.
Decidir sobre quiénes serán los portadores de la antorcha en la ceremonia inaugural de los Juegos Olímpicos de invierno en Pekín es la responsabilidad de China, y Estados Unidos no está en posición de hacer comentarios despectivos. Así respondió Pekín a la reciente interferencia de Washington, quien aseveró que la elección de China del atleta de la etnia Uyghur, Denijir Dilamujian, para llevar la antorcha olímpica es un esfuerzo de Pekín para distraer la atención del llamado genocidio en la región de Xinjiang.
Los llamados comentarios de genocidio de Estados Unidos son la gran mentira del siglo y exponen su intento de politizar los Juegos Olímpicos de invierno y su siniestra intención de utilizar el tema relacionado con Xinjiang para difamar a China.
China asimismo acusó a Estados Unidos de mentir de manera descarada sobre las minorías étnicas, mientras olvida sistemáticamente discriminaciones en su propio suelo.
Estados Unidos llevó a cabo un genocidio contra los nativos americanos en el pasado y ha discriminado sistemáticamente a las minorías raciales a largo plazo. La población de nativos americanos se ha desplomado de 5 millones a finales del siglo XV a unos 250 mil a principios del siglo XX, reduciéndose a una vigésima parte. ¿Qué es el genocidio? Las políticas que Estados Unidos ha impuesto a los nativos americanos son un verdadero genocidio.
Zhao, además de criticar la discriminación racial contra los africanos y asiáticos en Estados Unidos, dijo que elegir a una atleta de la etnia Uyghur muestra que la política de China de promover los deportes de invierno y mejorar la salud de las personas está beneficiando a individuos de todos los grupos étnicos y prueba que no existe discriminación.
Lo que Estados Unidos debería estar haciendo es revisar cuidadosamente sus propios crímenes históricos contra los nativos americanos y tomar medidas concretas para reducir la discriminación racial contra estas personas y otras minorías raciales, como los africanos y asiáticos.
China, en reiteradas ocasiones, ha instado a Estados Unidos a dejar de usar los asuntos vinculados con Xinjiang para difundir mentiras, interferir en los asuntos internos de China o intentar detener el desarrollo del país. Advierte que, de lo contrario, Pekín dará una respuesta más contundente a la luz del desarrollo de la situación. Beatriz Salas con información de Niloufar Shakuri, Hispan TV Noticias.
Migrantes de todos los rincones del mundo duermen bajo su mismo cielo estrellado. Me los encuentro en las calles, en los cines, en los supermercados, y el olor de sus comidas me embriaga de placer. Todos ellos son mis vecinos.
Y yo aquí vivo, bajo sus leyes domésticas, pago impuestos y mis manos producen la riqueza nacional.
Soy parte de esa comunidad que vive, trabaja y sueña con una mañana mejor para nuestras familias.
Casi todos migrantes como yo, casi todos soñadores como yo.
Trabajemos pues en la construcción de otra nación que nos haga dignos.
Seamos los arquitectos de nuestro sueño colectivo.
Esta radio no tiene comerciales porque tú nos apoyas. Si ya has hecho una aportación económica, te damos las gracias. Si no, hazlo ahora en kpfk.org o llama al 818-985-5735.
Así llegamos al final de esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro más profundo agradecimiento a todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
They told me, you know, we'll give you a day, we'll give you a week, however long it takes for you to accept our help to be healed and to become a child of God and denounce being gay.
Honoring the memory of Dr. Anonymous, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
I got three quarters of the way through several times and was like, well, I have no idea how this would end, so I have to start over. But one thing I know is I can't end a story without hope.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Nicaragua's NGO Purge targets its oldest queer group. Gay Taiwanese movie sings out a universal love song and upending the artistic process with Amanda Kayback. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Joe Bainline.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 28, 2021. The government of Nicaragua is aiming to shut down the country's oldest LGBTQ advocacy group. The Interior Ministry has asked the National Assembly to annul the legal nonprofit status of Fundacion Xaquiquetzal and 14 other non-governmental organizations. President.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Won't you spare me over till another year? Well, what is this that I can't see with ice cold hands taking hold of me? Well, I am death, none can excel. I'll open the door to heaven or hell. Oh, death, someone would pray, could you wait to call me another day? The children prayed, the preacher preached, time and mercy is out of your reach. I'll fix your feet till you can't walk. I'll lock your jaw till you can't talk. I'll close your eyes so you can't see this very hour. Come and go with me. Death, I come to take the soul, leave the body and leave it cold, to drop the flesh off of the frame, the earth and worm both have a claim. Oh, death, oh, death, won't you spare me over till another year? My mother came to my bed, placed a cold towel upon my head. My head is warm, my feet are cold, death is a-moving upon my soul. Oh, death, how you treating me? You close my eyes so I can't see. Well, you're hurting my body. You make me cold. You run my life right out of my soul. Oh, death, please consider my age. Please don't take me at this stage. My wealth is all at your command, if you will move your icy hands. Oh, the young, the rich or poor, all like me, you know. No wealth, no land, no silver, no gold, nothing satisfies me but your soul. Oh, death. Oh, death, won't you spare me over till another year? Won't you spare me over till another year? Won't you spare me over till another year?
Pirate ships are sailing out on stormy seas. There's a radio free America just for you and me. nation stinking up the air. Confused, let him spot the real nightmare. Say, hi, I'm 18 old. Coast guards are coming to shut the pirates down. They don't believe in free speech. The FCC's in town. Their axes and their hammers, they're smashing all the beds. They want a little battle, but the war's not over yet. Say, hi, I'm 8 years old. Come on, pirate radio. Land of the free and home of the brave. FCC crawling your grave. What are they afraid of? That we might tell the truth. We might play something good, and it wouldn't be a goof. What we need is liberty, not those sticky laws. Freedom from the FCC and their money-grubbing paws. Say, hi, I'm a diesel. Cut on the pirate radio. Land of the free and home of the brave. FCC calling your grave. Calling your race.
So coming up next is a flashback here on the Bathrop Spears Broadsides January 12th, 2023 show. We're going to go all the way back 20 years to the February 12th, 2003 show. And it's generally pretty audible. Maybe not that laudable, but who knows? Maybe you may find something of interest. It's co-hosted a bit, or actually he's one of my guests rather than a co-host at this point, a fellow named Jeffrey Gale, who was also a co-host of mine for a time. He was very interested in free radio. And the main subjects of the netcast, in this case it was a broadcast, but now, of course, we're doing netcasts, was, well, at first you'll be hearing some on-the-street interviews with a cop stop by Officer Brandt of an open container, and then two individuals ticketed for camping, and finally an interview with Sherry Connable, who is an activist concerned with homeless civil rights and other community issues, particularly was concerned with selective enforcement, and tried to get the city council way back then to follow the recommendation of the police review board, which was killed about a month before this particular broadcast by the new city council headed by Emily Riley and Mike Rotkin and Cynthia Matthews and Ed Porter. That was a police review board that actually, it had some powers, but it generally chose not to use them, and it was very much influenced by the tendency to, well, the people who were appointed to the board by the city council were right-wingers. They were conservative. They were not interested in really examining in a rigorous way police misbehavior in Santa Cruz. And so the board lasted from 1994, actually 95, but it came into being formally in 94, all the way to the first month of 2003 when it was defunded and essentially destroyed. And the functions were turned over to the police auditor, who was a completely tamed individual who had originally been the attorney for the police review board, kind of the independent attorney, but he wasn't so independent and is in his later days, as far as I'm concerned, although I don't have a good way of analyzing what he did, because police records in that regard were during this 20-year period when he was the substitute for the police review board, the CPRB, as it was called. He was examining these records privately, secretly, without public access. And he didn't make public reports in any written way. For the first time, I think it was this year or the year before, you had a new public, I guess it was called a police auditor, who was there. And there was more, at least, the appearance of criticism of some police actions or concerns about some things, which actually I haven't really talked about. Maybe I will at some point hold my nose and try to delve into that. But it was a subject of some heat, not so much in this broadcast that you're going to hear, as in the ones surrounding this. If you go back to the January, February of 2003, there was a lot of anger, at least from some of us, at the police review board when it actually began to start looking into real issues of selective enforcement, racial discrimination, in abusive use of force. It was torn apart and dismantled by the city council. So it was that period. And if you want to, as I said, you can actually go to the Huff website and hear old shows around those months which talked about it in some detail, or at least in more detail than this show. This show also gets into the war. The Iraqi war was about to hit in full force, shock and awe, or the infamous Bush war crimes, which are now being kind of eclipsed by the Ukraine. It's really, I want to call it a fiasco. The Ukraine sort of prelude to World War III is how I view it. You'll hear the attempts of some people like my co-host, or I guess my guest on this show, and later co-host, Jeffrey Gale, to get the Civic Auditorium, to get as a, or the Del Mar Theater, as a, to hold special meetings on the war, to get a, mobilize the community against the, and stop the bombing that was looming and impending that Bush then did the next month. There's also a long segment on the Beckerbacker Becky Johnson's hopscotch chalking trial, and she describes this in some detail. This is the attempt to, this was the actual, she was arrested for chalking on the sidewalk political messages, which was in erasable chalk. And this was an example of the collusion between the courts, the police, and the politicians, in my view, although I don't have any smoking gun or documentation that suggests a conscious and articulated conspiracy. But the determination to go after Johnson and others who are concerned about the tightening of the laws downtown, the anti-homeless laws, the so-called downtown ordinances, which are discussed somewhat and which regular listeners may be familiar with, was the occasion for this attack on Johnson for chalking. They didn't have to do it. They had sufficient support on a pseudo-progressive city council that was actually quite reactionary, which is almost always the case with the city council I've seen here in Santa Cruz over the years. But you'll be hearing that. You'll also be hearing a few old familiar voices from those of you who remember the old times, Skidmark Bob, the V-Man, and one of the pioneers of free radio, kind of predated Santa Cruz free radio, Tom Rebelli. And that's what you got coming at you. There is also going to be, if you want to get back to 2023, there's going to be a protest coming up next Thursday at 10 o'clock in Felton at the Mountain Resource Center, which has been reportedly driving homeless people out into the rain, refusing to allow them access to recharge their phones, and treating them as sort of subhuman critters who have to be kept away, kind of like the coyotes, I guess, or something. And it's be talking, I think, more about it on Sunday, hopefully, and then we'll be doing something about it, which is something that those of us with Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, HUF, used to do quite regularly, or at least with some frequency, in the old days. And now it's, who knows, maybe we're picking up where we left off. And if you have questions about any of these thing you hear on the air here, which I'll have to spark my memory, and I guess it probably will, and I can give you information about the upcoming protest. If you're interested, you're welcome to join us. I'm hoping to turn out a flyer about it and maybe even post something on Santa Cruz Indie Media, which I actually have written a few recent stories about the shutting off of shelter by the city mangler, Matt Huffaker, downtown closing the Civic Auditorium on the eve of a furious rainstorm, and is a the determination to close again the Santa Cruz Free Guides Depot Park pop-up teeny tiny shelter that I guess will be open for a few more days, but then is due to close. In Felton, there is no shelter. I'm told that the churches, they got lots of space. Apparently, they need more space in their hearts, and they don't have it. They don't mind keeping their buildings empty, even though these are the times when they really need to be opening them up. So we're going to go directly into the theme song of the old Bathrop Spears broadsides of 2003. That theme song is called Land, and it's about the homeless and land. So enjoy, and, well, here it is.
The homeless, your problem, for only one reason. Their president raises a question, who owns the land? The homeless, our problem, for only one reason. Our president raises a question, who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be 90 million dead Indians? Who owns the land? Could it be 6 million Jews? Who owns the land? Is there a connection? Who owns the land? To all imperialism? Who owns the land? Won't someone please tell me who owns the land? 'Cause I am just a white man who owns the land. I live in the Americas. Who owns the land? How did I get here? This morning, I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to sleep. This morning, I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to be. Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be that there's a connection? Who owns the land? To my daily eviction. Who owns the land? And the extermination. Who owns the land? Of the Native Americans. Who owns the land? Won't someone please tell me? Who owns the land? 'Cause I am just a white man. Who owns the land? 'Cause I live in the Americas. Who owns the land? How did I get here? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Maybe it's me and you. Maybe it's not the corporation. Maybe the earth owns its own self. Maybe it's the Native America. The homeless are a problem for only one reason. My president raises a question, who owns the land? The homeless, our problem, for only one reason. Your president raises a question, who owns the land?
Ecocide, genocide, where is home? Ecocide, genocide, where is home? Ecocide, genocide, where is home? Ecocide, genocide. Where is
home? And welcome to another edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. I'm Robert Norse. 2 hours lie ahead of us here on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM If you're close to a phone and you have access to one, 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz, is our phone in line. If you want to give us a call, you can do it. It's just me alone in the studio, but who knows? I get the strangest guests that may show up. I've been getting a lot of them in the last few shows. I'm grateful for it and grateful for your incoming calls if you want to be a part of the show. Today we're going to be talking about kind of following up on the issue of community control of the Santa Cruz Police Department and indeed of the deputy sheriffs and other police in the jurisdictions around us, including UCSC, private security guards, the hosts, all those folks who seem to have unusual control powers, power to intimidate, the power to terrorize, dare I say it, all in the name of protecting you from different dangers and threats. Particularly concerned some of us are with the destruction of the Citizens Police Review Board, which I have repeatedly called the Citizens Police Rah-Rah Board or the Citizens Police Rubber Stamping Board because of its failure to use the powers it has and the very weak condition it was originally created in. But, in fact, as I've talked about on the show in the past, we're going to be discussing the actual final burial of that board that happened on Tuesday night at the last city council meeting. We'll be playing some of that. And we'll be having a few words from Jeffrey Gale, who's been on the show a couple of times before, raging at the mighty, as he likes to describe it. He's been doing some really good work kind of behind the scenes. He's tried to get the Sentinel to publish a schedule of Free Radio Santa Cruz, and he's actually gotten close to doing that, but he's still kind of waiting to get the go-ahead from the Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective, which he hasn't, but who knows. Any day now, they may give him a call. That always could happen. Then there's other things he's been up to is trying to make sure that the Tuesday upcoming town hall meeting, which was created, I've got to tell you, by activists like myself. We were, when we realized Representative Farr, though he did do a symbolic vote against the war in Iraq, actually on the same day voted in favor of the huge Bush military appropriation and would take no stands against the war in any clear public way that would, let's say, mobilize people in the last 3 months, although I guess he has signed on to the Fazio bill recently, which, you know, good for him. But, I mean, we need something pretty drastic and pretty strong to stop this incredible rush to this murderous, aggressive war that confronts us. Anyway, Jeffrey has been trying to make sure that this Tuesday city town hall meeting, which, we, as I said, was created by activism, was announced by Emily Riley, and apparently Farr is going to be there as well as maybe a supervisor or two, I'm not sure. But that was done after, I presume, she received dozens, if not hundreds, of calls from activists all over this community based on outreach from people in HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, people in the Peace Friday group, people who received a flyer from me or others saying give a call to Mayor Emily Riley, to give a call to Representative Farr and demand a town hall meeting. We're almost at the stage where it's too late for a town hall meeting. It would have been nice to have one a month ago. And I mean a meeting that would mobilize this community into doing something very strong to stand up against the war. Today at the KSCO's noon show, Richard Quigley, an activist who's appeared occasionally on this show, called for the City Council of Santa Cruz to declare Santa Cruz a sanctuary for draft resistors. I thought this was a good idea, but of course there is no draft at the moment. You really want to do something even more immediate than this, because I think Republicans oppose reinstating the draft. They prefer to use trained mercenaries over there. Many folks of color don't have the doesn't have the political reverberations and backlash that the draft had when it was used in the Vietnam War, and even when you saw it reinstituted, even the registration under former President Carter in 1979, 1980 thereabouts. Anyway, I want to take off my hat to Jeffrey, who has he's pressed to have the town hall meeting moved from the Del Mar Cinema back into the larger Civic Auditorium, where you can actually get the damn thing televised without hearing squawks from community television that the lighting is too bad or whatever, you know, their concern is. That apparently is their concern. And he's been trying to arrange that pretty much unilaterally and just himself, recognizing the importance of that issue. I just wanted to tip my hat to him. Thank you. Jeffrey. He's actually in the studio now, but before we hear from him, I'm going to set the situation up here a little bit and play a few interviews from the street. We're also going to be playing some tape from the City Council's final execution of the CPRB, which is pretty much... I'm not sure quite why I'm playing this tape. I will be playing this tape, except that it's something the activists didn't hear because they all filed out. They all followed CPRB Chair Half Moon, who is now chair of the CPRB in exile, as he calls it, out of the chambers, simply not to waste their time or their patience with what is clearly a pre-programmed, pre-planned vote, which didn't address any of the issues of substance raised by critics, by those who want Citizens Police Review, all while maintaining stoutly and hypocritically that they were very much concerned with oversight of the police department. We're going to be getting to that pretty soon, too. But first, this.
Can you tell us about 2:05, 2 o'clock on February 9th? And we've got the number of police officers here, some card players. Man on the corner here at Pacific and Maple Street on the metro side of the street. Man leaning against a light pole. It looks like another ticket is being written out here. How's it going? Other side here, a quick photo opportunity. Believe it is. You've done that one before, Officer Brink. All right, well, I'll check it out. Thank you. Officer Brand is advising me first to get out of the crosswalk, where I was taking a photograph of three officers, count them, three, giving a citation here on the street, and now I'm learning suddenly that a brake light has a problem. And the ticket has been issued.
Yep.
All right, thank you. And looking at your ticket here, looks like, what's your name?
Raymond.
And Raymond, you got a ticket for display of open container.
Coffee and alcohol.
Coffee and alcohol. But it says 9.12.030, signed by badge 440. So what did they tell you they were giving you a ticket for?
I had a cup of coffee and I had a whiskey in it.
And? Really? Interestingly enough, they're giving you not a ticket for... not for drunk, it's for, nor is it for open container, it's just for display of an open container. Interesting. I guess it is an open container ticket. Thank you. How have you been treated? Were you happy with how the police treated?
Good.
Cool.
There.
Thank you. We're talking with
the next stop.
And you were playing some cards here on a public bench, of course, criminal behavior, we won't get into that. You say that you've seen some questionable juggling activity?
Yeah, he was juggling in the blue area. So.
The blue area. Now, what do you mean by that?
For handicapped people to park in the, like, 3x2 ramp.
So this is where?
Down there.
Across from the Senator's Coffee Company.
And he was, you mean it was a like a blue parking strip?
Yeah. And he was on the sidewalk.
He was on the sidewalk, so...
He was, like, 2 feet west of the ramp, you know? He wasn't near the ramp, really. But he can't be there because it's in a blue zone.
Oh, I see. So there's a new blue zone rule, which I haven't heard of. Which officer gave the ticket to me?
The really mean guy.
The guy who looks like Mr. Clean.
Oh, the fellow with the bald head? Yeah. Officer Brandt, the one who cautioned me to get out of the crosswalk?
Yeah, that's the one.
Miscalling at the street? And he also suggested that my brake light was not operational. I better check on that. Anything else happening? Any tickets for camping?
Not recently. I've been taking my camp down every morning, so, and then setting it up again at night, so I can't really do anything to me.
Have you heard of anybody getting any
hassles for camping?
I've heard rumor that they were doing sweeps, taking people out, but I don't know anybody personally. Or actually, I do. Some guys were up by where Camp Paradise used to be, and the Rangers came down there and dropped their tents, cut the cords on their tarps.
How long ago was this?
This was about 3 days ago.
How many of them were there?
There were 3 or 4 people camping up there.
This is a secondhand story, or you saw it?
I know the people personally who it happened to.
And did they say that the Rangers told them there had been complaints or gave them an opportunity to move?
They came down and gave them a warning about a week ago, and they did not leave.
Did they give them a place to go to, a legal place to sleep?
Well, whenever they do that, they always just say to go to the armory.
And why aren't you in the armory, my boy?
Because I don't want to be in by 4 o'clock and then treated like cattle, having to sleep with a bunch of people snoring all night and then get up at 5:30 in the morning to go stand in the cold to wait for the bus.
Minor problems. What about you, madam? Why aren't you in the armory?
Ditto.
I see. Well, you can see the kind of quality of person we have to deal with downtown here. I want to thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Yep.
We're talking with that terrorist musician, Terrorist Thomas, who just walked away.
You can't call me those things. That's not what I am. You have to use your mouth correctly.
Of course. I understand. It was a joke, Thomas. But
you can get the exclusive next time.
All right. But Nick, apparently what happened was Thomas got amplified music out at the market and lost his sense of humor as well as his opportunity to play music. So Sherry, when did this situation happen at the farmer's market? Was it this Wednesday?
I think it was the Wednesday before that.
And what happened?
Thomas told me that he was playing his sitar, which is with a small amplifier, sort of a quiet instrument. And he was in the area where Food Not Bombs usually serves their meal. And a police officer came along and told him that it was illegal to have the amplifier and he had to stop playing. I think she said something like, "I'm sorry because it sounds nice, but you can't do this." And he didn't.
You said we're talking with Terrorist Thomas, musician. That's not how you do things. You don't.
I know.
He said that.
Yeah, you got to learn how to use your mouth properly if you want people to be on your side. I'm not Terrorist Thomas, musician. Quite the opposite.
A retraction and a correction.
But not by me, but by who?
Well, the correction is not by me, but by...
How can we be sure?
A man that can't ever admit he's wrong. He can't ever admit he's wrong, so I can't take your side. You can't ever admit you're wrong.
I'm always wrong. No, I mean, have I ever been right?
There you see an example of again, alienating a good musician. But you've heard Thomas play? He's a good musician?
He's a very good musician.
Doesn't
yeah.
play loud and cranky or anything?
No, sitar is not a loud instrument. It's a very soft... It's used mostly for sacred East Indian music, so... Yeah, no, he's a good musician.
Could he really... I mean, this is an example of kind of the advanced... Is he part of the Mercatus cell? Is that the real reason? Probably not. No, I think we have to say that's an unlikely alternative. Let's see what...
You know, the hassling him at the farmer's market is certainly an area where there couldn't have been a complaint, so it had to be just police-generated, and...
This wasn't actually in the farmer's market. It was in the Food Not Bombs section area.
Right, where they serve next to the market.
The Food Not Bombs ghetto, so to speak, because previously people had been allowed kind of in the farmer's market, but then they put up all this kind of webbing that webbed everybody off from the sidewalk.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because there's some twins who play right here where we are right now near Sushi Now, sometimes on Sunday where Phil's playing. They play keyboard and saxophone, and I think Sushi Now invites them to be there. They play right next to the Sushi Now kiosk. And one of them plays keyboard. And the keyboard has an internal amplifier. That's the only way you can play keyboard downtown. And I've seen the police walk by many times and never hassle the kid for having that amplifier. But then they hassle Thomas at the market for... I mean, the keyboard's fairly loud, and I know the sitar's not that loud, so it seems pretty selective who gets hassled and who doesn't. You know?
Well, I know that you yourself were... with the former Citizens Police Review Board, which is meeting in exile today at 5 o'clock at Wired Watch Cafe, for all of you who want the historical background, you were successful in getting a selective enforcement begone resolution through the CPRB. And I take it Emily O'Reilly has put that at the head of the list for city council action.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. She sent me an email saying she was willing to agendize it, and then I sent one back, and I haven't heard from her since then. So.
How long ago was it?
About a week or so.
I didn't see it on this week's the Tuesday agenda for the, what is it, the 11th. And I also noticed that there's nothing on the infamous downtown commission slash city council slash exemption subcommittee, downtown problems. We're closed and we're ad hoc group. I guess Kennedy and Premack were supposed to be the key figures in that to get areas like the one we're standing in now exempted, because as of February 13th, in about 4 days, this area will pretty largely be forbidden anything with a display device, which is particularly impacts political tablers more than people with guitars, because that could arguably be not a display device given the strange exemption that musicians have already.
Yeah, I'm concerned that they're not back with that report. They were very clear that they were giving themselves a month and they wanted to come back quickly with what those exemptions would be, and that's a concern that it's not on the agenda. I had asked Emily if she wants to go ahead and agendize the resolution, but I wanted to talk to her about what the language would be, and that I wanted it to be with enough public notice that people had a chance to make time to come and speak to it. So.
And that was Sherry Connable talking to me 3 or 4 days ago. Sherry is an activist concerned with restoring public spaces downtown, stopping selective enforcement of bad laws, in fact, of any laws, actually, but specifically laws designed to criminalize poor people and musicians and such, the infamous downtown ordinances passed by Riley Porter and, I guess, now unanimously the choice of our current city council. Interestingly, if you follow that somewhat elliptical conversation, which might have been hard if you just tuned in and you're kind of fresh off the street, you should probably realize that the city council has been promising, in fact, is mandated to look at resolutions that come out of its commissions, which are the voluntary citizen groups that oversee various bodies and that oversee various issues, such as the Citizens Police Review Board used to be. And out of the Citizens Police Review Board and a massive hearing on harassment and selective enforcement by police against poor and homeless people and just young people downtown came a resolution that the CPRB passed in December asking that the city council move that selective enforcement is definitely not the policy of the Santa Cruz Police Department. And the regulations of the city council require them to either put that on the agenda or to send it back to the CPRB with a note. And neither of these things has been done, partially probably because the staff kind of sabotaged that. It was never perhaps as officially sent as it could have been, but Emily Riley knew about it, as you heard from Sherry Connable. She's the mayor, and she has done nothing about it. It hasn't shown up on the agenda. Similarly, a proposal to exempt musicians and political tablers in certain areas from the onerous move-along regulations and forbidden zones that are now law as of the 13th, as of actually today, according to Sergeant Jack McPhillips, who spoke to me today on the street about it. None of that has come back to city council, has happened, and it just goes to show that you cannot trust city council's promises. All you can trust is what you see them do with your eyes if you're watching very carefully, and better keep watching because they're going to keep doing things behind your back that you're not aware of. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM. In the studio with me is the notorious Jeffrey Gale. Hey, Jeffrey.
Good evening.
And Jeffrey, you've got some thoughts you wanted to pass on to a community out there. What's on your mind?
Well, it's always an honor to be on your show, Robert. I mean, you know, the full moon is Sunday night, and things are really getting loony in our culture at the moment. The number one thing I want to say is that I did get a call from the people who run the Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium, and they told me that when they had the event on the night of January the 21st to honor Dr. King, which the wonderful Reverend Lawson was the keynote speaker, the University of California at Santa Cruz footed the bill. And so they said that, get this, the Santa Cruz Symphony Orchestra, by rehearsing in outside of the Civic Center Auditorium from 6:30 to 8:30 next Tuesday night, shall we say, enriches the bank book of the city of Santa Cruz by somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000, just the act of rehearsing. So,
do I understand properly, they're going to pay for the rehearsal space? And
that they've already paid for it. They've already made a commitment. The Santa Cruz Symphony Orchestra has made a commitment to put up X amount of dollars to rehearse in that building.
And the significance, of course, is that if they're rehearsing there, then they can't be the city's... The issue of fighting the war in Iraq and having a town hall meeting can't be held because they want to make money off the symphony orchestra instead.
Yes, the city of Santa Cruz is in such dire straits financially that they need the revenue that will be generated by the rehearsal. So therefore, and here to be with the town hall meeting, will be in the Del Mar Theater, which means that even if someone came up with $1,000 or $2,000 to the public access television station, they have told me that they still would not be able to do a live telecast of the town hall meeting, but they would be able to do it on a delayed tape basis. But my feeling is that a town hall meeting, if you were watching Mr. Peter Jennings on the evening news last night on ABC, he was conducting yesterday a town hall meeting in Phoenix, Arizona, to discuss the war and many issues dealing with Phoenix. And so the bottom line is ABC is worth billions of dollars. And, of course, here in Santa Cruz, we need to waste our money having the police walk up and down the Pacific Garden Mall and walk around the Capitola Mall, making sure that, you know, there aren't any street musicians, there aren't any homeless folks, shall we say, hanging around these places. And then, so the bottom line is that there will be no telecast of the town hall meeting. And in my opinion, that's very sad because the Del Mar Theater, as you know, only holds X amount of people, and it's only available one night a year. And that means unless you can get into the Del Mar Theater, the only other thing you can do, fortunately, is listen to it on the radio.
Which I would like to point out, you were able to secure by your account by contacting KSCO, the otherwise revanchist right-wing radio station, at 1080 a.m., and you were able to get them to broadcast.
Yes, thanks to Rosie over there. She comes from the United Kingdom, and she convinced the Republican, the Republican right wing folks that own KSCO,
Michael Swirling,
that it would be a good public relations move for KSCO to do a live radio broadcast for 2 hours inside of the building.
Well, not just a good public relations, but they probably could sell some soap as well. You know?
No, exactly. And so that's how that came about. I was, in fact, pleasantly surprised that they're going to do this, but she was able to sell them on the fact that if you're going to be the only, quote-unquote, commercial news talk station along the Central Coast, that you better become part of the community and stop having only right-wingers like Michael Savage and, you know, the folks who are on KSCO. So that part is good, that if you're driving in your car from 6:30 to 8:30 next Tuesday night, you will be able to listen to the town hall meeting live on the radio. And I don't know if their news department's going to have people doing some interviewing before or after, maybe. But at least that's good, because there are a lot of people that, you know, work 25 miles away in San Jose or whatever, and they can't get inside of the Del Mar. Now, they're supposed to have a rotating thing in the Del Mar Theater for next Tuesday night, where they're going to allow certain people to come in and say something, then other people are going to come out so that other people can get in. That part is good. But television, at times, is really an important tool to get everyone involved in town hall meetings. Ted Koppel's been doing it for a long time on Nightline, to his credit, and Jim Lehrer has done it for many years on public television, and even Peter Jennings did it yesterday. So I really feel that the mayor and the city council should have gone to much greater lengths to make sure that it was televised, since there's no city council meeting next Tuesday night. And bottom line, it's right about the same, in the same time frame as the city council meeting would have been next Tuesday night. So I really feel that the city council really put their bank book first and not the idea of having everyone in the Santa Cruz area, shut-ins, people in hospitals, nursing homes, to be able to watch the town hall meeting live.
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. If you want to call in and chat with Jeffrey, he can't be here long. He's going to be leaving in about 15 minutes. Give a call to 427-3772, 427-3772. Yeah, regarding the bank book situation, that was the bogus excuse used to kill the Citizens Police Review Board. And while it's not exactly true that the police round up every homeless person on the mall or round up every musician, quite the contrary, they're very selective. They choose and pick who they want to remove. It is nonetheless true that vast amounts of money are being spent on a kind of a police overkill to eliminate what they call unsightly people or present a kind of intimidating potential use of force presentation. For instance, I was downtown today. I stopped in front of the Del Mar Theater, interestingly enough. And I stopped specifically because I saw two police officers, Sergeant Jack McPhillips and Officer Wendy Bynes, standing in kind of rain apparel. The rain had just stopped and the sun was coming out. And there was a man who they were ticketing. John Moore, actually, is his name. He's a fellow who was a former street spirit vendor. And he was being given a ticket. And what impressed me was not so much what the ticket was, which it was for an old warrant for spare changing downtown. And those of you who follow the downtown ordinances and this show should know that most of the spare changing laws downtown have nothing to do, let's say, abusive or even aggressive spare changing. They have to do with almost any kind of visible spare changing that doesn't fit within very narrow guidelines, such as you have to be on the lone 5% of the downtown sidewalk where you're allowed to spare change, which is 14 feet from a building, a crosswalk, a kiosk, things of this sort, so it doesn't leave much room. You have to be standing, even if you're standing silently with a sign. You can't sit down. You can't be in a group of more than one. You have to be alone. You can't do it after dark. So this man was getting a ticket, and a ticket for a warrant. Somebody might say, well, look, they could have taken him to jail. Maybe they're being real nice by just giving him a ticket for this warrant. But my thought was the way they were doing it. There wasn't one police officer kind of off to the side, you know, writing him a ticket saying, here's your ticket, you know, go down, get your court date for this stupid law, and, you know, we wish we didn't have to enforce this kind of crap, but the merchants pressed the city council to pass it, and here we are. Instead, there were these two officers standing ramrod straight in the middle of the sidewalk, making quite a demonstration of their force and power and authority. And I don't dislike these people as individuals. They were nice enough to me when I talked to them. And they weren't abusive to this guy in terms of how they spoke to him. But the presentation they were making of force, I don't think, maybe I'm too sensitive, looked really un-Santa Cruzan. I might have even said prior to the Bush administration, un-American. But, of course, I'm sure Clinton, with his war on drugs, had a similar approach. I think one of the tickets also might have been, he had several tickets. One was for marijuana use. So we're talking about this kind of low-level harassment of poor people downtown being made very visible. And the money is being spent on that instead of the kind of projects you're talking about, Jeffrey, which are projects vital to the health and safety and lives of, forget about the Iraqis, if you want, the Americans, you know, and the people who live around here, and the vets who are going to come back with illnesses and ailments as they did from the other Gulf War. And the kind of mass hysteria and frenzy that's taking over at least the media of this country, you know, duct tape. They've gone bananas over duct tape and yellow alerts. To me, it's kind of, I mean, it's amusing, but it's amusing in the most sort of grim and sardonic way. We need a counterforce, a rational counterforce. And ironically, because of the support of countries like Russia, France, Belgium, Germany, there is a counterforce forming to say, let's not go crazy, let's not go to war. But I think we need, of course, that kind of force here locally. What are our chances of avoiding war, Jeffrey, and what can we do?
Well, I think that the biggest way to avoid war is the fact that an estimated 10 million Americans are going to take to the streets in every small town and big city in America this coming weekend on Saturday the 15th and Sunday the 16th. Now, 10 million is a lot of folks. If you have a population of 300 million in the country, 10 million is a huge show of force. And when the two leading superpowers in the world, China and Russia, today, and along with Germany, as you said, and France, have gone on record as saying they in no way believe that the United States has any good reason to go to war against tiny little Iraq, that Iraq does not present any kind of a security threat to the average person walking up and down in the United States. That is the way I believe, Robert, that we can make it so we won't have a war. Because the bottom line is that most people felt that when we all marched, I believe it was on the 18th day of January, that was just a little march, and boy, February 16th will come along, and the 15th and 16th, and it's freezing cold. Well, guess what? In New York City, I heard today that there's going to be the biggest anti-war rally in the history of New York City, even if it's 10 degrees, at the United Nations, and that the government that runs the city of New York, led by Mayor Bloomberg, has told the people they cannot march or rally through the streets of Manhattan. They can assemble, but they are not going to be allowed to march. So I said, well, gee, why don't they just put an end to the St. Patrick's Day parade on March 17th? Because as we all know, every single St. Patrick's Day, when I'm in New York, they make a big deal about the Roman Catholic Church controls that parade, and they don't want gay people in that parade. So I didn't hear United States Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton stand up to Mayor Bloomberg and say, hey, what do you mean people like Julian Bond, these are the people speaking in New York now on this weekend, Julian Bond, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s son, you know, this is a bunch of baloney, that the folks are not going to be able to march through the streets of New York City.
Yeah. And, of course, you can do it here in Santa Cruz, but try to do it after dark at night and a 24-hour vigil, and you may find yourself running afoul of downtown ordinances. Though I'd love to, again, as I said, week after week on the show, hear one person telephone me and say, I'm willing to do that, let's do it tonight, and I would do it with you. So if you want to start an all-night vigil that says stop the war in Iraq, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF. That's the acronym for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and you're listening to Jeffrey Gale and Robert Norse on Bathrobs Pierre's Broadsides. I'm Bathrobs Pierre, and my sides are broad enough for all of us, I can assure you. But we need some of your thoughts, too. 427-3772 is the number to call in and join the show. Jeffrey, you're going to be leaving soon, so I'm going to turn things over to you. I guess you're going to be at the rally on February 15th, where we're going to be gathering at 11 a.m. on the courthouse steps, marching and rallying here in Santa Cruz. I guess there's a bunch of events all day long at Loudon Nelson Park. And I want to say also that, not Loudon Nelson Park, what am I saying, at San Lorenzo Park, right across from the, right next to the county building and right across the river from the downtown. That's from 11 to 4 on Saturday. If you want to be a part of this Del Mar Theater deal and you want to speak as a member, for example, of an organization, representing an organization, you should contact Mayor Riley, and she's at 420-5022, 420-5022, and let her know that you want to do that. I'm going to be speaking, hopefully, on that. In that respect, I've given my name and my organization, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, speaking about the war, and again, I got 5 minutes for what good it did at the Citizens Police Review Board death ceremony on Tuesday. So you should get your name in if you want to talk, in which case presumably you'll be broadcast over KSCO if they keep their promise as they said they will, and they probably will. I haven't heard them publicizing it. Have you heard them publicizing it yet, Jeffrey?
Well, I put in a call to Rosie today. She took today and tomorrow off, so I don't know about that, but I did leave on her voicemail that I would think that KSCO would put ads in the Santa Cruz Sentinel telling everyone that they will be able to listen to it on the radio. Whether they're going to do that or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's, I'm at my wit's end like probably most people are as to what to do. Of course, there's also a major rally in San Francisco on Sunday, the 16th, rallies across the nation elsewhere happening on the 15th because there's a conflict with, I guess, Chinese New Year's. They're doing it in San Francisco on the 16th, and I guess there's going to be caravans from the county building, I suspect, if they're going to do what they did last year, Sunday morning, if you want to go down to that. I am probably going up to San Francisco, and I'm probably going to find some way of presenting a taped version of my Sunday show, which is usually on 3.5 hours from 9:30 to 1, a new time, by the way, but that's the time it's going to be at, on Sunday, Bathrop Spears Broadsides, the show you're listening to now.
Yeah, they did call me today, that group saying that there will be buses like there were on, I guess it was January the 18th, for anyone in Santa Cruz that needs to go on the bus to the rally in San Francisco. People are going to assemble at 11 o'clock at the Embarcadero, and the skinny is that this will be the largest anti-war rally in the history of San Francisco, larger than any anti-war rally during the entire Vietnam War. And during the Vietnam War, I marched with at that time, my daughter on my back, and marches had easily a quarter of a million people. So you're talking about a huge throng of people. The reason that it's not going to be on Saturday is because 1 million human beings are going to, in person, be there for the Chinese New Year's parade. And so the police department and the mayor met with the people involved with the peace march and asked them if they would please put it over until Sunday. So that's the only reason it's going to be on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are other things happening, too. Tomorrow is Peace Friday, Ocean and Water Street, 5 to 6. Show up with a sign that's Ocean and Water Street, 5 to 6, Peace Friday. Also in front of the Ugly Mug over in Soquel Village, or not Soquel Village, but Soquel, I guess it is. I guess it is Soquel Village. And there's also a meeting of Standing United for Peace, the student group on campus, which is quite a number of people, 30 or 40 students, on the third floor of the Bay Tree bookstore or convention, Bay Convention Center, I think it's called now, up on campus. It was at 7. I think it's been moved to 6 or 5. And unfortunately, I'm a little bit unclear on that one. If you give a call to the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833, I'll try to leave, if I don't leave a message there, I'll try to get back to you if you leave a phone number, Standing United for Peace, and perhaps someone who's listening who knows the exact time can call in and let listeners know when that student meeting is. Lots of stuff happening this weekend, and of course, then there's a town hall meeting on Tuesday.
And also, Robert, there was a front page story in the New York Times today that said that cities and towns across America, such as Santa Cruz, California, are extremely upset with the Bush administration because the Bush administration is totally focused on going to war unilaterally if necessary, but they haven't been willing to provide the funding necessary to cities and towns so that if, God forbid, there's a retaliatory measure, a city like Santa Cruz is not prepared at all forget the gas mask and the whole bit.
We had a caller, but we weren't able to get him in. Try again, caller. We'll put you on. Sorry about that. I'm with all this very positive anti-war activity coming up and the positive international support for essentially restraint, I should be more perhaps positive myself, but I'm not feeling too positive. We have a call. Perhaps this is a positive, positively a call. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Free Radio.
Hey there.
I've never been on the radio before. This is the first. I don't know which site. How do I go about this?
Oh, well, you just chat. You just comment, question, sing, dance, whatever you'd like.
Actually, I was just kidding. I've been on the radio a lot.
I think I recognize your voice, actually, vaguely. Yes.
Of course I've been on the radio. This is the V-Man.
Hey, V-Man.
How are you?
Good.
I wanted to let your listeners know, especially the listeners that are in the audience that have cable, that there's going to be a discussion tonight on Community Television's Channel 27. I know it's sort of off topic from what you're discussing currently, but
no problem.
About independent media.
And what time has that been?
That starts at 7:30.
Oh, that's the Voices show. Yeah.
Right. It's Voices. It runs an hour long. It's a live show, and it's a call-in show. And it's like I said, it's about independent media, and some of the guests are going to be yours truly.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to plug my own, you know, of course. And as well as Old Lady Scar Arms from Free Radio Santa Cruz, we're going to be talking about our station
mm-hmm.
and what role we play in the independent media movement. There's also going to be some folks from SantaCruzIndieMedia.org website, Bradley, and I think maybe Lisa is going to be on, and also some of the producers of the Indie Newsreel program are going to be on as well.
That Indie Media website is really a great website.
Yeah, it can it could be a lot better, too.
That's
if
true,
more
too.
People contribute to it.
Yeah,
so,
and it's actually open to everybody to contribute at www.santacruz.indiemedia.org.
That's right. So I wanted to just let your listeners know that it is a live show, and there will be time for callers. So if anybody wanted to call in to community television tonight...
Got a number for them?
Their call-in number is 425-8844.
425-8844 between 7:30 and 8:30 on community TV channel...
Channel 27.
Actually, if you want to tune in a little early on Channel 27, you'll be able to check out Club Cruise, which I think has Amy, Courtney, and Cassandra Brown, as well as a couple of other folks, talking about it's either the death penalty or the war. I'm not sure which. That's on Club Cruise. So
interesting.
You can go from that. That's a canned show, but it's done within the last month, and usually can get pretty perky on that show.
Sometimes. I've seen a couple, one or two editions that weren't so pleasing for
me personally. Well, there's this great guy, Norse, who shows up on the show as a host sometimes. He is really incredible.
I was thinking of a particular program I had saw. It was like a debate on the topic of Israel, of the Israel-Palestine debate, and it was just kind of slanted towards what I consider to be the power and money side of things, and that being, of course, the Israeli government. But that's a whole other topic.
Indeedy. I didn't actually see that show, but I encourage people to present their own views on this station and others on all subjects concerning poor and homeless people.
Correct.
So.
Well, anyway, so tune in tonight if you can, if you got cable, and feed us softball questions. That'd be great.
We'll see.
All right. Thanks, Robert.
Hey, thanks.
Bye.
Man. And, Jeffrey, you're... Your clock is ticking. Is there any message you want to give to the community out there before we watch you disappear into the distance?
Well, I like to say this. I think this rally here Saturday is very important. We have some very distinguished, nationally known people speaking at this rally. We have professor from the University of California at Santa Cruz, Bettina Apfecker. I knew her father, Herbert, really well. She's going to be a keynote speaker. Also at the rally, Nunes, I can't pronounce this right, he's going to be a keynote speaker.
Stephen Nunes.
So I think that's critical that everyone show up at the march and rally, rain or shine, and just know that, in my opinion, the way to stop America from going to war is for 10 million people to get, don't be couch potatoes this Saturday and Sunday. Get your V-Day out of the way tomorrow. Get your, go see the Vagina Monologues tomorrow at the Rio Theater. Celebrate St. Valentine's Day, the Jewish Sabbath tomorrow night. But you have to show up, put your body on the line for peace Saturday and Sunday. There was another front page story today, Robert, you probably saw, that the Colin Powell has already written down the name of the United States general who, after we bomb the hell out of Iraq, kill I don't know how many of the 4.5 million people who live in Baghdad, we already have the name of the United States general who is going to take over Iraq. People keep asking Secretary Powell, well, what's going to happen after we get rid of Saddam and get rid of the government? Well, guess what? We're going to have to occupy Iraq for the next 25 years, and we'll have a U.S. general running Iraq. Now, if this isn't lunacy with the full moon coming Sunday night, I've heard everything. In the meantime, Robert, getting back to the issue of the police here in Santa Cruz, California, I want you to know that we have flyers all over this town. They came to where I live, that there is a man, according to the sheriff's office, a distraught Miguel Loza, cornered his girlfriend and her friend at knife point just before 8 p.m. Monday in the former Sherwood Preschool and Kindergarten at 5630 Soquel Drive. The suspect stabbed his girlfriend in the upper chest, raped the other teen, and then fled, deputy said. So I urge every single police officer in Santa Cruz, California, to tell the mayor and the city council, we are not going to waste our time for 1 second walking up and down the Pacific Avenue Garden Mall. We are all going to go and hunt for this killer, because it's not safe here in the streets of Santa Cruz, California. This city is as violent as any city in America. So it's very weird to me when they say keep Santa Cruz weird that we have police officers walking up and down the Pacific Avenue Garden Mall, the Capitola Mall, and up at the University of California at Santa Cruz, up in that ivory tower. But we've got a violent man on the loose right here in Santa Cruz, California.
Well,
how many police officers, Robert, do you think tonight are assigned? How many sheriff's deputies are chasing this man? His name is Miguel, M-I-G-U-E-L, last name Loza. L-O-Z-A.
No idea. But I know that there is the duct tape menace, and we have to prepare for the biological chemical warfare, which as we are assured by the mainstream media is in the offing. I see the indications of a police state more and more every day, unfortunately, even though, as I said, the individual police officers are pleasant enough when you talk to them, if they know you and you know them, and you know, they know you're a fellow with a tape recorder and a radio show and whatever. I like the individual officers, but I don't like the policies. We're going to be talking about those policies in terms of the city council's latest pass the buck and the power to the police department and abandoning even the shell of any kind of citizen oversight or citizen review or community control of police as they did on Tuesday night. We'll be discussing that shortly. Also, tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning, activist Becky Johnson, who works with Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom and the organization Downtown for All. She's a broadcaster. Her TV show, as I mentioned, is on Club Cruise tonight. It starts in 10 minutes on Channel 27. She'll be going to trial for perhaps what you might think vandalism or possibly some kind of assault on a police officer. Well, she's being charged with chalking on the sidewalk. Two counts of chalking on the sidewalk. And I actually got a...
Was she playing hopscotch?
No, although she has made some sardonic comments about the hopscotch menace. And she sent me an interesting email, which is rather extensive, so I'm only going to kind of quote from it briefly. Maybe she'll call in and talk about it. I'm going to be a witness at this trial since I observed this criminal in the fullness of her crime. What she was doing was she was back in, I guess it was this summer, she was drawing on the sidewalk a line indicating where people could walk. I'm sorry, indicating where people could legally sit down and spare change and play music and set up political tables. After the summer's restrictive downtown ordinances passed, she did this 2 days before the final reading, and she did this. I think it was like, gosh, what was it? In front of, it was around Borders, the shoe store, somewhere in that area, Candy Jackson Shoes, perhaps. Candy Jackson, of course, was one of the people whose political work actually created these bad laws through petitions, and. She was told it was somehow illegal for her to chalk on the sidewalk a public display so that people could tell where 2 days hence they would be able to walk. They would be able to sit and spare change and or just to legally rest themselves if they didn't have the money to go to cafes. And Officer Phelps, I got to check the my notes, but an officer came up and had her told her that he was going to give her a ticket. Gave her a ticket, $162 ticket for chalking on the sidewalk, and then she offered. She said, "Look, I'm happy to clean this up if you're concerned. Like maybe you think it's defacement or something." And the officer said, "I don't care what you do. I'm just giving you a ticket." And this happened last summer, and there were she got three different tickets on three different occasions, and she's gone to court on one of them. I mean, part of this is the fact that. You might say, well, here's this repeat criminal who's constantly chalking on the sidewalk things like, no war in Iraq. And I guess there was a specific statement she made. Well, she chalked in the gutter at one point, in the gutter meaning right along the edge of the sidewalk, because she wanted to carefully avoid chalking on the sidewalk, because she'd been told that was illegal. Previously, it had not been illegal to chalk on the sidewalk in Santa Cruz. I mean, I've been here for years. I think there was one arrest that was never prosecuted, like, years ago. And there's been no, the law talks about defacement, but it doesn't talk about writing on the sidewalk. It talks about you know, marks and paint and things like that. Instead, police have recently, with the kind of the repressive arm of the merchants behind them, been going after political activists. So what Becky chalked on August 19th was, are we so mean-spirited that we would deny a homeless person the right to sleep at night, to beg for food with a sign after dark, to sit or to cover up with a blanket? And I think she was interrupted as she concluded the sentence. Mayor Fitzmaurice and a couple of other council members apparently say yes. And so she was stopped from doing this by Mia Duquette, who is a Parks and Rec employee, who suddenly double parked her vehicle, blocking traffic, and told her she couldn't let her chalk there because she would have to clean it up. She didn't ask Becky if Becky would clean it up, but nor am I aware that that was exactly her function. She also, there was no law against Becky chalking where she chalked. However, apparently, in collusion with the police, they put their heads together with her, and they came up with a vandalism law that they used to drag her off to jail and hold her till midnight until she could round up a $1,000 bail. It's just, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, this is for chalking political messages, not even on the sidewalk, where it should be legal and actually has been legal. But here's a woman who's been trying very carefully to follow the law because she'd never been arrested before. Unlike myself, I've been arrested repeatedly. I'm a bit more kind of hurly-burly and out there, although all my arrests have been for nonviolent behavior, and I've also actually never really been convicted of anything other than I was convicted by a jury trial of feeding homeless rice and beans and soup and lettuce, I guess salad, up in San Francisco. So I will admit to that, and I did serve 27 days in jail, I think it was, up there for that. But, you know, that criminal record aside, she has had no arrests, and she's been videotaping these incidents for years, and people who are listening to this broadcast know that chalking downtown Santa Cruz is a customary and common thing, particularly in political protests. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of chalking over the weekend as we have the anti-Iraq war protests. But I would encourage people to come tomorrow at 10 o'clock to this trial. I'm thinking that the city attorney, who already spent around $10,000 in the first prosecution of Becky Johnson this autumn, I guess it was, is going to just not show up for this one. Because, I mean, this is another... The idea that the city is trying to save money, you know, by not allowing the, you know, not opening up the civic center to the to anti-war town hall meetings, or not allowing the Citizens Police Review Board to continue, and then wants to spend $10,000 on this ridiculous prosecution of the criminal chalker, is, of course, it kind of shows you where the head of the city is at, or the heads of the city are at, or maybe where the other ends of the city are at. Hard to say. So I guess, Jeffrey, you have a comment or two on this.
Yes, I just want to make one more comment before I leave, Robert, and that is the fact that I think it's truly remarkable that Santa Cruz, of course, is one of the music capitals of the country, and the Wave magazine came out today with a cover story that says violence, Raider riot psychology. So what I see happening right now in the country is that the United States of America is the most violent country in the world. We're the number one arms merchant in the world. Israel's number five. And the bottom line is, in my hometown of Chicago, we have a major story that just came out a few days ago, whereby there are 40,000 homeless people in Chicago tonight, where it's about 10 degrees, and there are 6,200 shelter beds. And the mayor of Chicago, the first thing he did when he became the mayor, an accidental mayor, because Harold Washington, of course, ate himself to death and died, when Mayor Daley Jr. became mayor, the first thing he did was sign a piece of legislation banning homeless people from spending any time inside of O'Hare International Airport between midnight and 7, where there's good heating and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line that to me is so disgusting is that Mayor Daley presented a plan last week in Chicago called the 10-year plan to help the homeless in Chicago. Well, does that sound familiar to the 5-year plan to help the homeless here in Santa Cruz, California? Or are we on the 5-10 split? Wasn't it Russia, Robert, that used to have all those 5 and 10-year plans when I was on a special peace mission in Russia in the summer of 1984. I studied every one of those plans. So America needs to really understand that as long as we have 45 million Americans who have no health insurance, 25 million American adults born and raised in the United States who are illiterate, can't read or write, and 8 million homeless Americans, 1 million in California alone, 3,000 by last count in Santa Cruz County, we are absolutely in trouble. We don't need to spend one red cent making war against Iraq.
We have a phone call. Hi there. You're on the air? Hello? Wait. Sorry. You're on the air?
Hi. No, we I think we should spend all our money prosecuting people for hopscotching or writing with erasable chalk on a sidewalk.
Oh, wait a minute. This is that criminal chalker, Becky Johnson, is it not?
Well,
Madam, I'm sorry. You're not wanted on the show. You're kind of a civil disobedience. Go ahead.
You know, a city has its priorities. It needs to spend its money on the most important things. And we're considering closing two elementary schools in Santa Cruz. We have budget cut, and we just lost the Citizens Police Review Board because of the terrible financial woes we're in. But we've got plenty of money to prosecute for sidewalk chalk on the sidewalk. Might as well get your money's worth. Come to my trial tomorrow, the Valentine's Day First Amendment massacre.
September.
I kind of knew we were a little in trouble with the Camp Paradise trial when Commissioner Joseph ruled that the people at Camp Paradise had someplace else to go, but they just didn't think it was very palatable or likable.
Of course they do. It's down the road, baby.
There wasn't any evidence presented on either side that there was another option for these go, but what that non-evidence is what was persuasive to Commissioner Joseph in his ruling that the people at Camp Paradise had no necessity to camp by the riverbank. And then, of course, at my trial in September, he found the arguments of the city's redevelopment agency and Sergeant McPhillips of the Santa Cruz Police Department persuasive that the city, that if a person chalks on the sidewalk, then that leads to more people chalking on the sidewalk, and that leads to vandalism, and that leads to shoplifting, and that leads to loss of business revenue. Loss of revenue to the city.
Blighted neighborhoods. Blighted neighborhoods, caller.
Blighted neighborhoods. Yes, it's because colorful chalk drawn on sidewalks by citizens, in the city's official view, is blight, and it has to be cleaned up as though it's dirty. They prefer kind of a gray, speckled with gum and spilled food. They believe that that is more aesthetically pleasing than colorful chalk drawings or hopscotch boards or messages that are of immediate concern to people.
I've been doing this Merry Monday deal, and so have you somewhat, for the last 3 or 4 months, which is this every Monday at 4 o'clock going down in front of O'Neill Sports and setting up a table and giving out literature about the latest crackdown against poor people and trying to mobilize people to realize this is their downtown. They can take it back. They can stand up and support each other when police begin to harass any individual, that other people can gather around and point out what's going on and make it clear to the citizenry just what's going on, that it isn't some real crime, but it's some bogus harassment stuff. And I know that part of that Merry Monday, I've been, giving out chalk to people and encouraging them to use it only if they're aware that some local commissioners and judges somehow believe that it is a transgression of the it's defacing the sidewalk to chalk, but I've seen children chalk on the sidewalk and police ignore them. I've seen lots of individuals chalking for the last few months on the sidewalk and they're ignored. What do you think is happening? I mean, are you simply, I guess you were arrested and I guess Tim Rinker was cited as well, and Nathaniel Kennedy was taken to jail and then popped in the booby hatch for a while. And there were three other people given tickets, but
James
I heard...
Nay, and I do remember another homeless man who I had a video.
Well, there were three people given tickets the day after you were arrested. But I don't think I... From one of them, I heard that the police officer didn't even show up. So it may be at your trial that they may want to lay low. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow at 10 a.m. in Department 1 when you face the music?
Well, first, I had thought I would only be facing one charge and not two. Because early on we made a motion to dismiss on the second charge, since there was no evidence in the police report that I defaced the sidewalk or the curb, and that is the ordinance under which I was cited. Eventually, in a roundabout way.
It's kind of depressing that you have to kind of start relying on these technicalities. I mean, as I understand it. You were given a ticket this summer for chalking on the sidewalk around the time that the downtown ordinances were supposedly being discussed at these public meetings that ended up being just show meetings. You were taken to jail. You demanded to be not to a jail but to a magistrate. You were given a ticket and then you got a second.
I was given a court appearance on that date.
Yeah, you were given a ticket and a court appearance, and you were subsequently given the second ticket, which you'll be appearing on in court tomorrow. For trying to, some days later, line out on the sidewalk the where you could legally sit and where you could legally peacefully spare change, the tiny areas that would be left.
Yeah, I was trying to show where 14 feet from a building is on Pacific Avenue.
Right, which doesn't leave much room.
Also 14 feet from a bench and from a telephone and from a kiosk and from a drinking fountain and all the different restricted areas.
And then you were given a second ticket for that, and then you realized, you had thought that, that these things haven't been tested in court. You had assumed the Constitution.
I had not been convicted at that point.
Right.
In
and you
the
had,
first, and I
you had assumed
that I was going to...
You assumed the Constitution would be, supreme here, I imagine.
Yeah, I thought I would be acquitted for the citation.
But after
that
second ticket, you became more cautious, and the third time you were arrested, you were not arrested for chalking on the sidewalk, as I was explaining, I think, before you called in. You were arrested for this message you gave about...
I was chalking in the gutter.
And by the gutter, you mean the area right along the side of the sidewalk?
Immediately adjacent to the curb. If you look at a sidewalk, there's the sidewalk surface itself, there's the curb, and then along the edge is the gutter.
And that was like at the corner of Cooper and Pacific?
Right.
And I know that I was explaining how Mia Duquette, this employee of the Parks and Rec Department, got personally aggrieved and jumped out and actually battered you, according to your account.
Yes, she did.
And by striking you, and then you were kind of upset at this, as well as being stopped by her. And then she was told by the police that what you were doing was legal, as you had been told by a police officer some minutes before.
Yeah, about 10 minutes before.
That it was that might not be legal to chalk on the sidewalk, however crazy that is. And however selective and unconstitutional that is, but as far as they knew, it was legal to chalk, in the street, and you were chalking in the gutter of the street, and then in collusion with Sergeant Lennon, he advised her to have you arrested under a misdemeanor charge of vandalism. Is that right?
Well, Parks and Rec worker Mia Duquette was talking to Sergeant Lennon and Officer Hillier, and I believe there were a few other officers there as well. For quite a while, period, maybe as long as 20 minutes. And then Officer Hillier came over and arrested me for misdemeanor vandalism. So I don't know the content of what they talked about, but it did look like that they were discussing what her legal options were at some length.
But it was a citizen's arrest, which I think is significant, because those who follow my program regularly kind of know this distinction, but those who don't, if a police officer sees you doing something criminal, he or she can cite, ticket, or arrest you. In this situation, you were not cited, ticketed, or arrested by a police officer. You were cited under a citizen who said that she had seen you doing something illegal and she wanted you arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
That's correct.
And not only, but normally in such a situation, when a citizen makes a citation like that, you're given a citation and told to appear in court. In this situation, what they did was they took you to jail. Is that correct?
I was taken to Santa Cruz County Jail in handcuffs and booked into jail. I was searched and placed in a tiny drunk tank.
And this was done by an officer who claimed, this was the Sergeant Lennon, who claimed to me that you would be a repeat violator because you had chalked before. And I tried to explain to him that you had chalked before on the sidewalk when you thought it was legal, and you had gotten two tickets for that, but you were specifically chalking on, in the street because you knew it was not legal to chalk on the sidewalk, and you've been told by police
it was legal.
It was legal, right, to chalk on the
sidewalk. I felt what I was doing was illegal. Activity, that I was not breaking any law. I had read the ordinance that I had been cited under. It didn't apply to anything except for the sidewalk and the curb.
And the significance of this was that normally, I mean, you know...
I had no intention to break the law.
Right, and not only did you have intention to break the law, but you were prepared to take the issue to court and to let it go that day. He was claiming that you were going to continue chalking because you're chalking in the after you'd gotten these tickets on the sidewalk. Chalking indicated somehow that you were just a confirmed obsessive addicted chalker. Are you in fact a addicted chalker? Do you shoot up at what's going on here?
Well, I don't know how he can say that, because after I was basically assaulted and battered by this Parks and Rec worker, I stopped chalking at that point. I didn't know what was happening, and I was just kind of trying to see what was going to come of it. And I didn't pick up any more chalk. No one asked me if I intended to chalk anymore.
They just hauled you off to the Hooskow. And I mean, it seems to me like my offhand reaction would be, here's a conspiracy to violate your civil rights. Even without hauling you off to the Hooskow, getting you to stop writing your message when you're engaging in legal activity.
Well, I think Sergeant Lennon got bad advice from Miss Cleo. You know, she's a fraud, that lady.
Who is?
Miss Cleo.
I'm sorry? Who's that?
Okay, sorry, Robert. I used a reference that your entire audience gets and you don't.
Well, you know how it is.
TV psychic who is arrested for being a fraud. Can you imagine?
Well, I know also that when they took you to jail, not only did they take you to jail where normally you go to jail, you know, you hang out for a couple of hours, or sometimes 4 or 5 hours, and then they OR you and release you on your own recognizance.
Yeah, I expected that.
But you got an unusual treatment, right?
Well, much to my surprise, I found that they had one of the Santa Cruz police officers had called Judge Barton on the telephone and asked him to have a $1,000 bail and posted on my. On my release.
So, in other words, you couldn't be released until you had either given $1,000 to them or given $100 to a bail bondsman, and in essence...
And sacrificed it forever.
And sacrificed forever.
Regardless of the outcome.
You're not exactly a wealthy woman, right?
No, not at all.
And you're a mother of three children?
That's correct.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that this seems an unusual procedure, and I think I learned from you further that certain allegations were made in telling the judge that you were some sort of repeat chalk terrorist that put him in a position where he was led to hold you on this $1,000 bail.
Well, I think that if you look at the police report that Officer Hillier, my arresting officer, wrote, he makes two very interesting statements. He says, I know for a fact that Becky Johnson was previously arrested for vandalism. And then he says, I know that that Becky Johnson was told by Judge Kathleen Atow that if she chalked again, she would be charged with misdemeanor vandalism.
So vandalism.
So these two statements.
Vandalism is a misdemeanor, isn't it, Becky? It's unlike your your earlier charges of quote defacing the sidewalk with erasable chalk sold across the street in the Palisades Stationery with the phrase erasable chalk on the box. That's an infraction. And
I had been cited for infraction of defacing the sidewalk.
Right, so this was a different thing entirely.
But that wasn't true.
So Hillier...
And then the other statement about the judge having put some special order on me, that also is something
now,
that never
this
occurred.
Misinformation came from an officer who had previously arrested you and also whom you had filed a complaint against, Officer Wendy Bynes, is that correct?
We asked Officer Hillier, you know, why he made those two obviously false statements in the report, and he was surprised, actually, and he said that he'd gotten that information from Officer Bynes.
Now, Officer Bynes is a woman who has been accused by you and several others of...
She was the subject of a complaint of mine that I made with the Citizens Police Review Board.
For making a racial stop, right?
A racially motivated stop on Pacific Avenue. At least that's what it appeared to be to me.
Uh-huh.
And I asked the Citizens Police Review Board to investigate a videotape and two witness testimony that was made immediately after it happened on the scene. And then I guess there were three other people that came to actual meetings and spoke about who were all eyewitnesses.
I should say, in deference to Officer Bynes, that this complaint was not sustained, or perhaps was it exonerated, or I'm not sure. It was, in any case, it was not sustained, certainly,
mm-hmm.
by the police review board or by the police department.
Yeah.
Partially because, as I understand it, the black individual, the African-American driver whom she stopped and accused of having excessive noise on his radio, and this happens a month mm-hmm. or two before mm-hmm. this chalking incident, declined to testify himself because he wanted to have nothing to do with the police. And that the police's own internal investigation exonerated the officer, or let's say found it was not sustained. I know that it wasn't sustained. I don't know which of the other things. But anyway, she was also if not the arresting officer, the officer who conducted you to the court in your first shocking case. And apparently in this.
Yeah, she was actually, the sequence of events were that I filed this complaint about a suspected racially motivated stop. And then she cited me on citizen complaint from Julie Hendy for my first ticket on June 28th.
Julie Hendy is, of course, the redevelopment agency official who's been pushing the downtown ordinances. Formerly, she was a part owner of the Cat and Canary.
And she testified at my trial in September.
Testified that you were causing great amounts of expense to the city by chalking. Right?
No, there was some testimony that the city had paid someone $150 to clean up the sidewalk chalk that day. But that same testimony said that it's chalk is easily removed and you don't need any special equipment to do so. And then city attorney John Barisoni stipulated that sidewalk chalk is easily removed. So the city is not particularly concerned with any extraordinary expense with removing the chalk. At least that's what evidence was presented in September.
But in that trial, you were found guilty, correct? You were
found guilty.
Defacing the sidewalk.
I was guilty of defacing the sidewalk, but I wasn't ordered to pay any restitution.
No. So in other words, you were found guilty of defacing the sidewalk because Commissioner Joseph found that the $10,000 prosecution of you by the city attorney John Barisoni, his wife, Judy Hendy, numerous other city employees. There was quite a crowd in the court that day, as I remember.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly?
I think we counted seven city employees over the course of the trial.
What exactly?
And that's not counting the staff of John Barisoni's office.
Becky, what exactly did they prove that led Commissioner Joseph to believe that you had defaced the sidewalk? Did they show a chipped and tattered sidewalk? What did they show?
They showed that the city of Santa Cruz uses the broken windows theory as its model for policing. And
what is the broken windows theory?
That's for law enforcement to use a variety of what we call quality of life crimes for prosecution and have extremely rigid enforcement of those quality of life charges. So, used primarily against people who don't belong.
Now, quality of life crime, that's, let's say, denying a person medical treatment or possibly treating them with discrimination because of their racial color, that would be giving them a bad quality of life?
Quality of life in this context would be sitting down against a building. It might be asking for spare change.
Oh, I see. In other words, you're talking about detracting from the sort of upscale ambiance of a gentrified avenue, that quality of life.
Lying down on the sidewalk is a quality of life crime.
I see. So we're going to try to stop those crimes in Santa Cruz?
In an effort to clean up the downtown so it's no more sparkly and spiffy for the shoppers.
So that was the reason that all the city attorney's staff showed up in court was to... to make sure they felt that you were sort of a quality of life menace with your chalking.
With the broken window is that first sign of disorder. And
Wait a minute, which house, on that first sign of disorder. Becky, what window did you break?
Well, I didn't break any window. In fact, I didn't damage anything at all. In fact, you know, if it gets down to an aesthetic value of the downtown, I don't think it's clear whether sidewalk chalk makes a sidewalk more aesthetically pleasing or less aesthetically pleasing. We don't have a jury tomorrow, but if we did have a jury, I think that they'd really struggle over that because some people think a chalked-covered sidewalk is much more fun or colorful or creative or expressive, and it's a way for the community to communicate with each other, and it's a very inexpensive means, and it's very localized too. People, you know, walking by will see a message written on sidewalk chalk fairly readily. And the beauty of it is it doesn't damage the environment. It's made of ground-up seashells and vegetable dyes. Those are the kinds of materials that are just naturally occurring in our environment anyway that would, goes down to the sea. That washes to the sea.
As I recall, you used a variety of arguments at this trial, which included the fact that chalking caused less litter than flyers. You also claimed that it was more visible. You claimed that it was easily washed away or scuffed away relatively quickly. It was certainly non-permanent.
The city testified in September that they clean Pacific Avenue with hoses once a week. So at the worst-case scenario, the chalk could be there for 7 days if left completely alone.
Well, there was also some testimony that there were chalking. There was somebody chalked a penis on the sidewalk. Now, did you have anything to do with that, Becky Johnson?
I was really quite shocked when City Attorney John Barisoni showed me that picture of penis and balls right on the witness stand there. That was kind of a shocking event.
This was the penis decalogue, were these the Australian penis stretchers in town, or advance advertising?
Yeah, I had some trouble actually recognizing that particular symbol. I recognized the two women's breasts that he also showed me. I recognize them, but he had to sort of help me.
So he claimed that your drawing, and I guess in that first chalking incident for which you were found guilty, and I guess you were sentenced to what?
32 hours of community service.
32 hours of community service. And that situation, you're chalking a peace symbol.
I made a peace symbol, and then I also wrote, sleep is not a crime.
That led to graphic displays of genitalia on the sidewalk, and therefore you were guilty of lowering the quality of life and defacing the sidewalk.
Well,
is that the argument?
I didn't quite understand.
I'm trying to understand this.
Barisoni's argument, other than it did make it to KGO Radio, that obscenities had been used, and somehow that justified things in the minds of the people who were generally listening to KGO, which, has a huge audience, that there was something really untoward going on with this chalking on Pacific Avenue.
You have two charges coming up tomorrow.
I wanted to say one more thing about the penis and testicles.
Oh, my goodness.
If City Attorney Barisoni says that you can hand flyers out and he doesn't have a problem with that, what's to stop someone from drawing penis and testicles on flyers and passing that out? I mean, just because you have a medium like a sidewalk chalk and drawing with sidewalk letters,
I think this is a red herring.
Any content,
Becky, I think this is a red herring because I haven't seen. I didn't examine closely. That was a day when there was a lot of drawing on the sidewalk, because there was a lot of absurd stuff happening at this city council meeting, which I think then resulted in even more absurd legislation. So in a way, it's a, sort of an expression of protest against that.
You know, I never
But you know, but I think generally there has not been any kind of explosion of obscenities, either written or visual, on the sidewalk. And I've been there every Monday, pretty much, and I've seen chalking on the sidewalk every Monday and police ignoring it, whereas you are now going to court tomorrow at 10 o'clock in Department 1 on two counts of chalking.
That's correct.
Now, as I understand it, one of these accounts was, as we've been describing, how you put out some lines to show where the legal and the illegal spaces would be to sit and to play music and to spare change. And you also offered to clean it up because you were aware you had previously gotten a ticket and you wanted to make sure you were not accused of defacing the sidewalk. You hadn't been to trial yet, but I think you were sort of sensitive about that, right?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I was influenced by some comments made in the Santa Cruz Sentinel article about chalking by City Attorney John Barasone. And he had made the argument that the peace symbol and the sleep is not a crime were the kinds of text I could have printed on a flyer and handed out. And, you know, he's right about that. I could have done that just as easily on a flyer or made a sign and held it. But how could I actually show graphically how small those zones were going to be for the downtown ordinances? I mean, they were going to have the second reading 2 days later. It was going to be, you know, drafted into law, and we know once it's in law, it's like concrete. It's just hard to get undo a law.
And they have been drafted into law, and they have been enforced.
And furthermore, that the maps that the City of Santa Cruz had provided to the public showing where the, quote, opportunity zones, unquote, would be, those maps were incorrect. And
they were admitted to be incorrect, as I recall, by Assistant City Manager Martine Bernal on more than one occasion, most recently in January of this year when the final reading of those ordinances and the final changes came back.
Yeah, I really felt compelled to communicate to the public just how much freedom was going to be lost, that these little tiny areas that are 14 feet away from everything were going to have to be the only places where people would be allowed to sit, be allowed to set up, you know, play music and ask for spare.
Well, you know, no good deed
donations.
goes unpunished here in Santa Cruz. But that second charge, you got two charges coming up tomorrow. The second one really seems to me to be quite a reach. I mean, you were dragged off to jail for, quote, vandalism, and after you yourself feel you were battered by the city employee, and held there in jail on bail. And then suddenly that charge was dropped down to a charge of what?
Defacing the sidewalk.
This is for chalking that was not done on the sidewalk. Perhaps you were defacing it through some sort of magical, invisible, is this sort of another quality of life? What is this?
Well, here's another problem, is that when my attorney, Ed Fry, who unfortunately will not be representing me tomorrow on these cases, but represented me on my first case.
You'll be representing yourself.
He made a motion to dismiss the charge entirely, and we submitted the police report for Commissioner Joseph to look over, which in every instance stated that I chalked in the gutter. And we just wanted to save the city the time and the trouble and the expense and the bother of prosecuting for something when it's so could so be easily dismissed. I mean, that's the prosecution's key piece of evidence, is the police report. That's what's being used for the prosecution. But Joseph refused to dismiss the charge, insisted on going through to this point, and then he said he just wanted to see how it worked out.
How many times have you been back to court on this charge?
I think this is my fifth.
Fifth time.
Fifth appearance.
And has this chilled your First Amendment propensity for chalking?
Definitely. I don't feel the same way about chalking anymore. And, you know, in every case that I did chalk, I did so with the understanding that what I was doing was a legal activity, and that if we ever got to court that and we brought all all the evidence, that I would be exonerated. I certainly don't feel that that's a likely outcome tomorrow in Commissioner Joseph's court.
Right. I know you haven't been able to get a lawyer either or to really mount a full case. You asked the police department for instances of past citations because I think you feel that you've been singled out as a political activist, and you've got some discouraging words from the police department?
The ordinance that I was cited under, the defacing the sidewalk ordinance, was passed in 1964, and it was not enforced, to my knowledge or to anyone's knowledge that I've ever talked to, it was not enforced against sidewalk chalking at a wall until I think it was in the spring of 2000 that the very first ticket and then arrest for chalking occurred, and that was of a homeless activist, James Nay. And since then, only a few people have been cited, arrested for that.
Nay wasn't prosecuted. Nay was not prosecuted under this.
Nay was not, he was not prosecuted.
So I think there was no indication that this was actually the case. So you sought to show that this law certainly has not been used by the police, or at least where's the evidence that the police have used this law to cite or anyone else for chalking on the sidewalk? And there have been, I have seen literally hundreds of instances, well, let's say dozens of instances of chalking on the sidewalk in the last 15 years.
Robert, the point is that I wanted to get, during the discovery process, for the city, for the police department to show how many citations were issued for chalk riding between 64 and 2000. And I stopped there because I know that since 2000, I can think of five or six tickets that have been written for chalking citations. However, there's been no legislative change in the meantime. And I don't think that that's proper. I don't think the police should suddenly shift interpretation of one ordinance where an activity that was legal and non-criminal for years and years has a tradition of children playing hopscotch or children's drawings. We've had these chalk festivals on first night for, 4 or 5 years in a row. Everyone enjoyed that a lot. I'm really in the wrong place at the wrong time because this is the same city council that just banned hacky sacking, frisbees, bubbles, music.
Spitting and crying. Any discharge of fluids downtown.
It's hard to make it more aesthetically pleasing. It's the aesthetic police, really.
It's interesting that, it's not really interesting. It's just rather depressing. This is happening tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Department 1, and I guess you're going to be trying to make these arguments before a judge who already feels pretty much that chalking is not a constitutionally protected activity, even though it's hard for me to imagine the government has showed any compelling or substantial interest in restricting a First Amendment right. He seems to feel they have. And I know you've got that case on appeal, but you don't have a lot of, of background for it. But it could be that the reason they're making you come back by that, I mean, you didn't do a lot of discovery in that first case. You didn't get a lot of evidence from the police department.
No, I didn't.
But I know Ed Fry was a volunteer lawyer in that case and probably didn't have a lot of time to do that kind of work, and you didn't have a lot of money to hire a fancy attorney. But I guess we should come and see what's happening. I heard a rumor that you were going to invite the commissioner out on the sidewalk, do some chalking on the sidewalk, and show him that it can be erased in 15 seconds with that incredible new technology you've developed, rubbing your hand and some cold water on the sidewalk.
City Attorney John Barisoni stipulated in September that removing sidewalk chalk is easily removed. And if he's not willing to do that tomorrow, then I want to take the judge outside and demonstrate how easy it is to remove chalk.
Take him to the woodshed. That's my advice. The other thing is that you should know that, while I guess maybe they're trying to stall against some kind of lawsuit. I know that they will be getting a lawsuit from me this coming week on that year-old issue of obstructing the sidewalk. That's what they used to stop me from tabling outside Sushi Now when I was pushing to have the urging a boycott of Sushi Now and the New Leaf Market.
Saving Hippie Plant or from turning into Yuppie Plant.
Right, trying to stop the gentrification downtown that eventually has happened. I would encourage people to come to your trial. I'm going to be there. I guess you want me to testify as a witness.
Yeah,
I will.
I do,
whatever good
want
that'll do.
You as a witness.
Maybe we should invite members of the community who want to talk about this issue to call in. We have about 25 minutes left. We're on the line with Becky Johnson here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, talking about her chalking trial coming up tomorrow. Two counts of chalking, defacing the sidewalk with erasable chalk, once for showing the trying to correct the city, the assistant city manager's false maps to show what the maps were, what the real forbidden zone was. And then the second time, not even chalking on the sidewalk, chalking on the street, but being charged with chalking on the sidewalk. So anything you want to add before we roll into the, maybe open up the phones?
Okay. People could look in the latest issue of City on the Hill Press. There's a interview with Con Hallinan, who just recently received an award along with his notable colleague, Tim Fitzmaurice. And he makes a statement in there that in these times, in these difficult times, we need to vigorously press to keep all of our First Amendment rights, especially freedom of speech, because how can we possibly affect the course of any other activity if we don't have freedom of speech to discuss and criticize and communicate our grievances and what needs to be done. You know, the community is run by the community, but it's not run by a community of couch potatoes. So I just encourage people to really, really hold the line against any encroachments on First Amendment rights.
Maybe they can join you tomorrow at 10 o'clock in Department 1 at the courthouse.
Yep, 701 Ocean Street. Hey, well, I call it a free show, but actually you're probably spending, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 for that.
Thank you, Becky, and maybe we'll see you down there. I mean, I will see you down there, and maybe others will, too.
Okay, great. Thanks, Robert.
All right. And phone lines are now open, 427-3772. If you want to call in, 427-3772, and express your thoughts on this chalking menace, which seems to be our wise police force and prudent city attorney are taking proper measures. It looks like we have a call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert.
Hey there.
Listen, I come with good news.
Oh, good.
And I've been waiting a long time to give it, and the first thing I want to do is to give Becky and anyone else who might be interested my phone number, because it's like a lot of good news. It's a little complicated to give in 5 seconds,
mm-hmm.
but the fact is that there is a very powerful weapon, which I've just refreshed myself on in the last couple of days, to use against this against the law that's being enforced on us. The big mistake that we all make, and certainly is to believe that we're under constitutional law. We're not under constitutional law. We have no rights, but there is a way to get us ourselves back under constitutional or common law. And that's what this wonderful old man whose tapes I have, Howard Freeman, talks about. And basically, he gives you. I published a page of his work called "Legal Self-Defense for the Homeless." You may remember it. It's something that will serve anybody who is brought up on any charge. Before a Santa Cruz court.
Now, let me ask you, caller, has this ever been used effectively in any case?
Absolutely.
You know?
Howard Freeman used it all the time.
No.
The old gentleman was 85 years old when he made these tapes.
Caller, in Santa Cruz.
What?
Has anyone in Santa Cruz...
I don't think so. Right. I don't think so because one of the things that you have to do is you have to, and that's why it's very lucky that Becky has not got an attorney. The one thing to remember is that no court can proceed against you as long as when they ask you if you understand the charge, the answer to that is no. Any court that proceeds against you after you have said that you do not understand the charge is committing a reversible error, which will be reversed by any court in the future. So the matter is, of course, you can't just say, I don't understand, but in this particular case, that there are only three legal jurisdictions that are mentioned in the Constitution for judicial for the judicial courts. One is the common law. Now, you're not under common law because common law requires a corpus delicti. It requires an injury to person or property. And the person injured has to, you have to be able, as the person accused, to put your accuser on the stand and question her or him, and to be, in order
this,
to be able
this
to...
This sounds like this is going to take a while to explain, and I've heard, by the way, some of this...
It won't take nearly as long as the conversation you just had with Becky that doesn't advance anything, as far as I can see. I mean, it's a wonderful...
Well, my problem, caller, is I have 15 minutes left in this show, and what I'm trying to do is to... I've got, you know...
And God knows if anybody were able to point to something that would really be effective in using in court, not only for Becky, whom I strongly recommend, and anyone else that's interested, that they call me. I'm perfectly willing to put this, make it available to them. It's not that difficult. It goes on a single page, although, as I said, it's a little difficult to spell out in a few
moments. What's your number?
It,
why don't you give your number, caller, so people can call you?
454-9392.
454-9392. And, of course, do you want to say who you are? Or?
That's 454-9392. My name is Tom Reveille.
Hey, Tom.
And I am
encouraging you to continue to distribute this. I just know that this is a complicated subject.
But it's not that complicated. That's why I was launching into at least...
I also have a problem with it because I have never, ever seen it successfully used in Santa Cruz, and so I tend to be impatient with it when it comes
up. But nobody's ever tried it.
No, that's not true. Ray Gordon has tried it, and so have other people.
Oh, I'm sorry. He has never tried the Freeman approach.
Well, I've seen him use similar approaches.
I can't begin to follow what Ray Gordon does in court.
Okay, well, all I know is that, I mean, I'm always open to any new approaches. I'm glad when they come. I'm just, you know, I'm restless with, when I hear the words common law coming up, I start getting antsy because I've seen lengthy discussions.
There's
of this
no point talking. The point is, if you're under the Uniform Commercial Code, there's absolutely no point talking about your First Amendment rights because you ain't got any.
Okay.
None of us do.
Well, listen, I know you're a disabled person yourself, so you may not be able to come down to court tomorrow.
I can come down to court if there's any chance of doing some good. I just don't want to come down and watch them run roughshod over somebody else. I want somebody who's willing to put in enough time to understand, which isn't very much, and I'm willing to act as counsel if I'm permitted to. I'm perfectly willing to act as counsel to the person defending herself.
Why don't we do this? Why don't you get together with Becky? I mean, she has the option to call you. Maybe she will.
Maybe you can give me her number.
I don't know how secretive she is about it, but I'll be happy to call her.
She's in
the phone book under Becky Johnson. She's the only one.
Okay.
Just give her a call and tell her your suggestions. And, you know, I'm not saying this shouldn't be tried. And I'm just saying that it's, you know, I mean, I got 15 minutes. I'm going to try to rush through the CBRB death, which we've already covered somewhat already, and also any other callers who want to make comments on this. And I appreciate your calling in with this information. I just really feel like I've got time to cover it right now. But I am not precluding discussion of this in future shows.
Okay. Well, I'm very happy to, as I say, I'm very happy to have my number given. Give it to you. You have it anyway.
One more time. Your number is?
You can repeat it any time.
Your number again is?
454-9392.
454-9392. Thank you, Tom. And get in touch with Becky and let's see what happens. Maybe she'll be able to advance some of that tomorrow. If not tomorrow, at some other time.
Okay.
Thanks.
God bless. Bye-bye.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. If you want to comment on this chalking situation, do so quickly, because otherwise I'm going to turn, pretty quickly to the CPRB death, which was finalized at